Please be seated. As John Green writes in his novel, Will Grayson, Will Grayson, you don't scoot to the edge of the bed and look down to make sure the floor is there. The floor is always there, until it's not. I want you all to close your eyes for a moment and imagine someone that you trust with your life. Maybe it's a parent, a sibling, a partner, or a best friend. If you're real faithful, it may even be God. Take a moment to appreciate this person and the comfort he or she is to you. When I was about 13, I acquired my first cell phone. With the phone came strict rules implemented by my mother. One of them being that I was not allowed to send chain text messages to others. You know, the messages your friends send you saying, you must send this to 10 people or else something really terrible will happen to you. Now, I knew this was a practical rule. Those things are just silly. However, my friends did not agree. They took these messages very seriously. As expected, I received a chain message one night. This particular one had to be sent to exactly 15 people or else. And even though I knew it was wrong or forbidden, I sent it anyways. After I'd sent the message, guilt and fear rippled through me. I knew that if my mom found out, she would be angry. And worse, she would lose her trust in me. Nonetheless, the guilt was too strong, and I soon confessed. My mom was angry, yes, but I knew she was glad for my honesty. The thing is, she may have lost her trust in me, but she didn't lose her faith in me. And trust was something that I could regain. As much as it felt like it, it wasn't the end of the world. I realized that my mom was just trying to protect me from harm. Think back to that person. Have you ever lost trust in him or her? Have they ever lost trust in you? John 14 is all about trust. Jesus' disciples are fearful. They don't know what is going on. All they know is that Jesus is leaving them, is going to die. So they're frantic. It's like in the movie Forrest Gump. The main character, Forrest, begins to run one day, and he doesn't stop for almost a year. He runs endlessly from one end of the continent to the other. And soon after he starts, people begin to follow him. They run like a herd of animals at his rear. And one day, Forrest stops. He turns and says to his followers, I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now. And walks away. His followers stand in the middle of the road, unable to figure out what to do. One even says, what do we do now? I'd imagine that was just how the disciples were feeling when they heard that Jesus was leaving them. What do we do now? Imagine your life without that special person. Does mass chaos fill your head? It fills mine. Because being alone is scary. The person that these disciples have been following for a long time is leaving them. They ask Jesus their own questions. How can we know the way and show us the Father? They are desperate. They are reeling. They are afraid. For that moment, it seems like they lose their trust in Jesus. But that does not make them any less his followers. In fact, it's incredibly human to have doubts. It's incredibly human for a 13-year-old to break a rule. The disciples may lose their trust in Jesus, but they do not lose their faith. Jesus earns his trust back more quickly than my mother and me, but what else can you expect from the Son of God? My parents got divorced when I was 4 years old. Growing up, I spent most of my time with my mother and selective weeknights and weekends with my father. As the oldest sibling, I took the weight of the separation upon myself. I was the messenger, the protector, the defender. My mother was my queen, and my sister was my princess. I vowed to be their warrior. It turned out that warrior is more like warrior. During the worst days, after the worst fights, I confessed that I would think to myself, God, why me? At those times, it was easy to question where my God was and how he could do this to me. It was difficult to trust in him. Even during those very difficult times, though, good things happened. It wasn't that my God had left me entirely. Maybe he was just giving me a chance to learn and grow and to express my feelings to others. And eventually, these smaller fights and conflicts due to the divorce ironed out. Things were resolved as much as they could be. I'm in the process of realizing that worrying doesn't serve us. I don't think anyone can go through their life without a single worry, of course, but I urge you to worry less, to put up your hands and surrender to the already existing possibilities, to clear your mind and focus on the positives instead of the what-ifs. It's like Jesus says in Matthew 16, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And in even simpler terms, it's also easy to think to yourself, "God, why me?" When you're at the supermarket cash register, a multitude of groceries in your carriage, only to realize that you left your wallet at home. It's easy when you get rear-ended at a red light. It's easy when your dad embarrasses you in front of your brand new girlfriend. Yet somehow, as Christians, there is still this underlying faith inside of us, this pushing force in the depths of our minds telling us that we aren't alone. God hasn't left us. He's got to have a reason. We still believe. As Jesus says in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." His words are a comfort to his disciples on that frightening day. He is saying, "Don't worry." Now I want you to close your eyes again. Instead of imagining that special person, I want you to imagine yourself. Is there something you've been wanting to do? Is there somewhere you've been longing to go? Is there something you've been needing to say? Do it. Go there. Say it. Even if it's something simple. Even if it isn't. Look at yourself and trust. Let your faith and trust in yourself flow as freely as your faith and trust in your peers and your God. After all, he has faith in us. Amen.